Okay, everything's working at the moment, so we shall commence. Where is the study? Is the question. Here it is. There it is.
Oh, you have to make it bigger. Both control there, so it fills the page. It tilts about 200. There you go.
That's good enough. Well, we're one of Messiah congregation, and we're going to blow the trumpet.
It's got to be a little bigger and deeper.
And,
Yeah, that would be helpful. Do it to about a see down there on the bottom, about 200. See that? There you are. No, a little bit lower. There you are. Well, 196 was good. That's good.
That's
I
good.
think that's real good.
Okay, whew, what a battle
What
today.
a battle. I didn't
Today's a
know
battle. Okay, blow that trumpet. Let's see what it sounds like. Let's see if the trumpet works.
Oh, man. The pressure's on.
Might be a rabbit in it. Shalom. Well, Shabbat Shalom. Very good. Well, I hope, I don't know what this service is going to turn out to be. And for the people online behind the screen here around the world, they could actually see us right now, so I'll wave at them. But we're one of Messiah congregation, Kahal HaMashiach in Hebrew. We're just a little piece of the Israel of God, Adat Yisrael. And today's the Sabbath. Today's the seventh day. And it's interesting how the world has changed the God's day into tomorrow, which is the first day of the week. But let's pray and ask God to bless and anoint this day. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for another Shabbat. Bless and anoint this study today. Teach us something new that we didn't know. Take away anything that's corrupt. Bless everyone here. Bless everyone on the internet and everyone that would hear these messages on our servers in the future. I pray today, Lord and God, you'll put a wall of fire around and about us, caution us from any evil. I thank God for the blood of Yeshua, for salvation and forgiveness of sins, which is the most important thing you could ever want. And I thank God for this day, and may God bless you and increase your faith today and give you more wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and the fear of God. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. Amen.
Oh, you know,
It's a
you're
little
making it
bit big
small.
there, you know. Okay. Well, today we're using the Gregorian calendar. It's Catholic, unfortunately, and it's
It's working on video.
Oh, good. Today we're using the Gregorian calendar. It's the 25th of July. So you might say, what is July? And if you look on the screen here, this is where the word July comes from. Julius Caesar, he named it after himself. Isn't that nice? Why wouldn't he? He's the emperor, right? He's the in charge. So you might say, is that a big deal? Well, no. Are we going to change it? No. But it's nice to know God has his own calendar. We're in the fifth month of God, and Scripture has no name at the moment, but it's the eighth day and of God's calendar, and it's totally different than what we're all raised here using the Gregorian calendar, the Catholic calendar by Pope Gregory from the 1500s. I don't know if you didn't know that. My ministry is a teaching ministry. I like to bring up topics and subjects in the Bible, maybe you're not familiar with, and things in your life that maybe you're not accustomed to
I think your
hearing.
mic is off.
And my mic is off. Let's see. You sure?
Oh, shoot. Maybe it's
Testing, 1, 2. Can you hear me? Can they hear me now?
I left the room. I'm going to come back in.
Okay.
Maybe
Sound.
me too, you know.
We're just going to have to go along with the program here,
I
whatever
think
it
so.
is.
That's what we
But
need.
anyway, for all my studies, if you missed me in the last 14 years, you can go to my website, which is probably the only thing that's faithful today. It's still running. And you could read my studies. You could hear them. Nowadays, you could even watch them. And you could even download them to MP3 players if you desire. We're in the Pow-Talk room. I don't know. They could see me on streaming right now, right?
Yeah, I see.
Okay. And there's the URL you put in, right? And basically, we've been invited many different places in the last 14 years. I taught at Davison Christian Academy and Franklin Christian Academy, and we went to a lot of nursing homes and assisted livings and jails and all types of places. And met a lot of interesting people. I don't know where they are today, but we had lots of conversations. This is part two of a study I was doing, started last week, Messianic Prophecies of Yeshua. The word Yeshua is actually Jesus' name in Hebrew, okay? Because Jesus, Yeshua, didn't come from Texas or Tennessee, so he comes from Israel, right? And he's the Mashiach, the Messiah. And the reason why I'm doing these studies, because a lot of people, they all think they know who Jesus is, but we're forensic spiritual detectives, you know, we want the evidence, we want the truth. We want to know, how do you prove who Jesus is or Yeshua? I mean, anyone nowadays could say they're Jesus. Matter of fact, a lot of Mexicans are called Jesus. What are they called? Jesus? And obviously, they're not Jesus, right, or Yeshua. But through the Tanakh, we could prove who the Messiah is, and that's what the study from last week, I thought I'd continue on with it today. Can they not hear me on Pow Talk?
They're not even responding to me, so
okay. Keep going. Messiah's testimony in the Gospels bear witness that he fulfilled all the Tanakh prophecies pertaining to him. And if you don't know what the word Tanakh means, that's an acronym for the Torah, five books of Moses, the prophets, and all the rest of the writings. So that's very important. I know a lot of people think of it as the Old Testament and the New Testament, but that's wrong terminology, and we could show you that later. Okay. Let's see. This is an amazing miracle in itself. There's no parallel in the literature of the world. The Bible is the only book in the world that has genuine fulfilled prophecy, and also prophecies that really haven't even happened yet. And it's an amazing book, actually. I'm sure you've read a lot of books in your life, right? There's nothing like this book. Yeshua said, "Search the scriptures," which is the Tanakh, "for in them you think you have eternal life." And he says, "They are they which testify of me." So remember, when Yeshua was on the earth, he didn't have gospels or letters. He didn't have the epistles. He only had the Word of God, which is the Torah, the prophets, and the Psalms, right? And the writings. Luke 24:44 says, "He said unto them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." And he actually says it that way too. Isn't it nice? So that's the Tanakh right there. Tanakh's an acronym, remember. And this is interesting right here in the Gospel of John. These people were, I guess, trying to find fault with Yeshua. And Yeshua says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." And then the Jews said unto him, "You're not even 50 years old yet, and have you seen Abraham?" And Yeshua said unto them, "Verily, verily, which is truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." And we understand that Yeshua is the Word of God made flesh, which is very complicated to a lot of people, because most of us, when we speak nowadays through your phone, the voice comes out and they recognize it's you. But you can't pop through the phone and show up, you know. But God, who can't die, he figured out a way that he could die for the sins of the world. He created a body that was born through a virgin, and obviously, it was Yeshua, many years later, which can actually die for the sins of the world, which is a really amazing puzzle that he figured out. John says, again, "For Yeshua says, have you believed in Moses, you would have believed in me. He wrote of me." And you have to know where he wrote of the Messiah. That "me" is the Messiah, okay? Luke 4 says, "Yeshua taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all, and Yeshua came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom," the word custom there doesn't mean like a custom you have today, but it means a custom according to the Torah, "he went into the synagogue," this is a little synagogue, yeshiva, "and he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day," which is today, "and he stood up to read, as we do today, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written." And it says in Isaiah 61, if you know your Bible, it says, "The Spirit of Jehovah is upon me." So right there you see three, because you have the Spirit, which is Spirit of the Father, is on me, the Messiah, right? "Because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of Jehovah." And he closed the book, and he gave it to the minister, and sat down, and all the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day, Isaiah 61, is the scriptures are being fulfilled in your ears. He's standing right in front of them. And, you know, it wasn't an amazing thing. A lot of people recognized him as the Messiah. The woman of Samaria was clearly a devout reader of the Tanakh. She knew all about the Messiah, as was the apostle, as did the apostles and the disciples. So all these people, they had this book, you know, they had these books, and they could prove who the Messiah was. Even though maybe you're not familiar with this, but for many, many, many years, a lot of people have showed up saying they're the Messiah. Even today, some people say they're the Messiah, but they can't fulfill any prophecies, and they obviously can't die for your sins. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah comes, which is called, Christ. Okay, this is supposed to say Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. Yeshua said unto him, I that speak unto you am he. So, there you go. Yeshua knew he was the Messiah, right? And upon this came his disciples, and they marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, why are you speaking with her? Why do you talk with her? You know, the woman then left her water pot and went away into the city and said to the men, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Messiah? very good chapters there. So people that knew the Bible, they knew how to find the Messiah. It wasn't like they didn't have to go to extra books or external books from the Bible. But you, when you have the Bible, when I call the Bible, I'm talking about the Tanakh, you can actually prove all things. And that book is more important than you could imagine. It's not just some Bible, you know. But if you look at it the correct way, it has the answers of everything you ever need. It's really amazing. You could read it for your whole life and you'll never really understand it all. Then Yeshua came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi and asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say, you're John the Baptist, some say Elias, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He said unto them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And the word Son is synonymous with the Word, because the Word of God was made flesh.
And a son is given.
A son was given, right, exactly, in the book of Isaiah. Was that chapter 11, I think? Yeshua answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, the flesh and blood had not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Yeshua, by taking the title Son of God, Yeshua has identified himself that with the messianic title used in the second psalm. The second psalm, it says, I will declare the decree Jehovah had said unto me, thou art my Son, this day I have begotten thee. So again, that's pretty amazing. If you read Psalms, which is probably hundreds of years before Yeshua showed up on earth, which today is almost 2,000 years, almost everything Messiah said or did had some connection with the Tanakh prophecies. And this is all important for you to know. Last week's study, this week's study, and maybe next week's study might be a part three. Some of the messianic miracles were fulfilled in Tanakh's predictions in Isaiah 35. Which reads, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and with singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of Jehovah and the excellency of our God. Strengthen you your weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. We know when that happened. And the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Amen. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool. You know what that looks like, right? And the thirsty land springs of water in the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Praise the Lord. So in other words, all the things that are dead are going to come alive because God's coming. And he came the first time, which is a miracle. The people that knew the Bible, they all recognized him. And the ones that didn't know the Bible, they didn't recognize him. They killed him. It says, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. It says, the unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring man, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Amen. And the ransomed of Jehovah shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. How's that sound? Messiah's ministry was in accord with what Isaiah had predicted concerning him. Isaiah 42, 1 to 4, and Isaiah 61, 1 to 3. It says, behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delights, I will put my spirit upon him. He shall bring judgment to the Gentiles, to the nations. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he had set judgment in the earth. And the isle shall wait for his Torah. Amen. So if you know your prophecies, you don't even need the Gospels and letters. That shows you who the Messiah is. And here's Isaiah 61 that I read to you before. I read that in the Gospels, but here's what it says in Isaiah. Spirit of the Lord Jehovah is upon me, because Jehovah had anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of Jehovah and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Isn't that nice? He says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them, this is nice, beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. He's going to exchange your mourning. He's going to give you the oil of joy, the garment of praise, and for the spirit of heaviness, and that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of Jehovah, that he might be glorified. Amen. So again, we're doing a sort of a investigation on who is the Messiah and where does it prove that he is the Messiah, so we know who we actually believe in. He's not just some Jesus petting lambs, you know, in some book, but he's actually the God incarnate, you know, as a man, and died for our sins. Matthew 12 says that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, behold my servant whom I have chosen, and my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Amen. We just read this in the Gospels. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall all the nations, the Gentiles, the nations trust. Amen. And we all know about Messiah's suffering and death at Jerusalem. We're all in accordance with what has been foretold in Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53. You could read those for yourself. Very powerful chapters. Matter of fact, in some Jewish synagogues, they don't even like you to read Isaiah 53 because it sounds too much like Yeshua. Some synagogues actually cover that chapter because you just might believe. So they want to leave you in darkness, you know. When speaking of John the Baptist, Messiah called attention to the fact that John was his forerunner, even as they predict as they were predicted in Isaiah 43 and Malachi 3:1. This is talking about John the Baptist. The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of Jehovah. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of Jehovah shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of Jehovah spoken it. And go back to Matthew, for this is he of whom it was written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. So here we have John the Baptist prophesied over 500 years before he even showed up. And it's pretty amazing to have a book that's prophesying that you're going to show up and have a ministry. And it was written in the and that's written in Mark, and it's also in Luke. So they have three witnesses. Three men actually wrote this down. Okay? Also, Messiah had to come before the second temple was destroyed, which is very important to understand that. Because anyone today that says they're the Messiah, and there's a lot of religions that say their Messiah is going to come, they're imposters, because the Messiah had to come before the second temple was destroyed, and that was destroyed in 70 AD, a while back. And where do you find that? Well, you have to go to Malachi, and it says, Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. So John the Baptist is going to prepare the way before the Messiah, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith Jehovah of hosts. And what that host means right there, he's the captain of the hosts of the armies that are in heaven. I know it's hard to understand because you can't see it at this moment, but if your spiritual eyes were open, there's a whole spiritual world going on right this moment. And some is good and some is scary and some is great. But you have to understand, there's a foe that's after you. He's called Satan, and he's the prince of the power of the air. He likes to ruin your life. That's why we all came to the Messiah, which saved us out of that mess, right? Always fulfilling Scripture, as Yeshua drew near to the end, he said to his disciples, and he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. So again, he's quoting the Tanakh. And again, we see right here, I say unto you that is written must be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors. Remember, he died between those two thieves. And then Isaiah 53, for these things concerning me have an end. In other words, he was going to die for the sins of the world. And the amazing thing is, one day we'll go through the proof of the resurrection, because without the resurrection, we're all lost. There would be no reason to be here today or to go anywhere, or to be no reason to read any Bible if there was no resurrection. Very important. Matthew 26 says, we read Messiah is always quoting the scriptures where his credentials were pre-written. Rise up, be going. Behold, he that is at hand that doth betray me, which is Judas. And while yet spake, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude and swords and staves from chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whosoever I shall kiss, the same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Yeshua and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Yeshua said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Yeshua and took him. And behold, one of them, which was with Yeshua, stretched out his hand and drew a sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then Yeshua said unto him, Put up again thy sword into thy place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. You don't thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legion of angels? But how then must the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? So Yeshua knew he had to be betrayed and sold for 30 pieces of silver, and he knew he had to be crucified for you and me. And unfortunately, there's so many imposters out there, Jesuses, fake Jesuses. Every church that's out there has a made-up Jesus, which is really amazing. In that same hour said Yeshua to the multitudes, Are you come out against a thief with swords and with staves to take him? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. But this is done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. And unfortunately, then they all forsook him and fled. And Yeshua says in the Gospel of Matthew, "All ye shall be offended because of me." Mark 14:27. "All you shall be offended of me this night, for it's written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." And that comes right out of Zechariah. "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith Jehovah of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I'll turn my hands upon the little ones." Now, if you could just grasp what I'm trying to talk about today, we're talking about Zechariah that was written hundreds and hundreds of years before it happened in the Gospel of Mark, which is sort of a miracle, amazing for it to actually happen with the exact words, the exact situation, the exact unfortunate end. You know, it's really amazing to have this. After his resurrection, he spoke to two of his disciples by the way called Emmaus. And it goes like this. "Behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass, while they communed together and reasoned, Yeshua," that rose already, "himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they could not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them said, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him," he's talking to Yeshua, he doesn't even recognize him. He goes, are you only a stranger in Jerusalem, and you don't know the things which are come to pass therein these days? And he said unto them, What things?" He's testing them. "And they said unto him, Concerning Yeshua of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. And how that the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him." It's always the religious leaders and the people in the higher echelons of life that really want to do in anyone of God. "But he trusted it that it should been he that should have redeemed Israel." And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. "Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished when they went early to the sepulchre, and they found not his body." So the women went there first, Mary Magdalene. They went to the sepulchre, and he wasn't there. "And they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive." Praise the Lord. And they knew he was dead, but he is alive. "And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not." Now Yeshua opened their eyes right there as he's walking. "And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Messiah to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And I wish I was there for this. They didn't have any MP3 players or recording any apparatus at that time. "But beginning from Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Wow. I wish they would have wrote that down. "And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Whew. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures?" Wow. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and had appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking bread. Amen. And as they thus spake, imagine this, Yeshua himself stood right in the midst of them and said unto them, Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. And they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a vision. And he said unto them, Are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit had not flesh and bones, as you see me have. Yeshua was the first one to get an incorruptible body, which is supernatural, beyond our imaginations. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you any meat? Means meat, at this doesn't mean hamburgers, it means like bread, you know, okay? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat with them. And he said unto him, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the Psalms and in the prophets concerning me. And you know what's a shame? All these pseudo-religions out there, most of them don't even read the Tanakh anymore. All they read is the letters and the Gospels. And that's why they don't know who the Messiah is. They say they love Jesus, but who is he? I don't even think they know who he is. He's the Messiah, the Mashiach, the one that was foretold over 300 places in Tanakh. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved the Messiah to suffer, and to raise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So we see in the book of Psalms, it says, sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. And then David says, my ears you have opened. And then he goes back to the scripture. He goes, burn offerings and sin offerings thou hast not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It's written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy Torah is within my heart. In the book of Letter to the Hebrews, we see that Hebrews 10, for the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the comings thereunto perfect. Everybody understand that? For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin, right? But in those sacrifices there's a remembrance made again of sins every year, right? That's the reason why they had the Day of Atonement, and they had to do this. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins forever. Wherefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. And of course, we know a body hast thou prepared, which is a supernatural body. In burnt offering and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. Could you imagine that? It says, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he says, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law, the Levitical priesthood. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He takes away the first, in other words, the Levitical priesthood and all that sacrifice stuff, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Yeshua the Messiah once for all, which you should really understand that. And if you go back to Luke, it says, but you are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you. He told the people at that time, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, which is the Holy Spirit, and led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried into heaven. Right? Imagine seeing that. And they worshipped him, returning to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Of course, what else would you do after that? Amen. So we know the scripture cannot be broken. So the credentials and testimonies, evidence, written proof, such as letters of commendation or legal documents proving the bearer's right to offer or position, Yeshua fulfilled them all. He is the Messiah. And if you take what I read to you today, you'd have to digest maybe a little slower and understand what I'm talking about, because it has way more power than you could imagine. Always remember a few important points to prove the real Messiah. Point one, Messiah must come before the tribe of Judah lost its tribal identity. In other words, in 70 AD, all the tribal information was burnt up in the burning of Jerusalem by Titus, the Roman emperor. So no one today can prove what tribe they're from. You can't prove what tribe you're from. Okay? Genesis says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh, which is a symbol of Messiah, come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. So just that by this one prophecy, if you have a spiritual understanding, you should understand Messiah had to come before the recognition of the tribe of Judah was lost. No one can prove today they're from Judah. This is impossible. Genetics and the genome does not go back that far. You can never prove you're from any of those tribes. Messiah had to come while the second temple was still standing, which is so important to understand. In other words, anyone who said that the Messiah, if you do a Google search and you put down all the Messiahs that said they, people that said they were Messiah for the last 2,000 years, you'll get so many people, and they're all fake. They're all liars. Because Messiah had to come while the second temple was still standing, which is something that you should really understand as a prophecy. If we go to the book of Haggai, it says, I will shake all nations, and the desire of nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith Jehovah Tzavaot. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith Jehovah of hosts. The glory of this latter house, the second temple, shall be greater than the glory of the former, saith Jehovah of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith Jehovah of hosts. So Messiah was going to come to the second temple, which is really important to understand. If you go to Malachi, it says, behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to this temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith Jehovah of hosts. So, if you just understand those two verses, Haggai and Malachi, that should show you right off the bat, anyone who says they're the Messiah after the second temple was destroyed is apostate, is a phony, false. Though that's very important to understand. And very important to know, and that's Haggai 2:7 to 9 and Malachi 3:1. These are credentials to prove who the Messiah is. And in Psalms 118:22, we see that again the stone which the builders refused, which is Yeshua, the builders were the rulers at that time, he's become the headstone of the corner. This is Jehovah's doing, the Father's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which Jehovah had made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This says right in Hebrew, it says, Hoshea na, save now, I beseech you, Jehovah. Jehovah, I beseech you, send now prosperity. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. We have blessed you out of the house of Jehovah. So Messiah had to come to that temple, which is so important. In the book of Zechariah, it says, and I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. For they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And Jehovah said unto me, cast it into the potter, a goodly price I was priced of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of Jehovah, which is the second temple. So we see all this had to happen. And if you want to get a little more intricate, which I don't know if you do, in the book of Daniel, which is the last few verses I'm going to talk about, Daniel was a prophet, and he says, know therefore and understand. So you need to know this and understand that from the going forth of the commandment. So you have to say, what commandment? It's the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. So you have to understand this happened in the book of Nehemiah and Ezra with Artaxerxes and with Zerubbabel. It says, to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks. And that weeks there is something different than you might think. We'll explain that later. And 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. He's going to die for the sins of the world. And he didn't do it for himself. But it says, and the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the wars desolations are determined. So we see Titus destroyed everything there, and everything's lost again. And it's always because the people of Israel sinned and rejected God. And I've been to Israel with my wife, and can't really find a lot of people there that care about God. They're all following the Lubavitch Judaism, which rejected the Messiah. And the land of Israel is beautiful, but the people there are not. And the religions there are terrible. They have the same religions that are here. Seriously. And we see right here that Messiah had to come 483 years after a specific date in Daniel's time. So if you just do a little math, we will explore this next week maybe. Okay, Lord willing. So we have 483 years after a specific date in Daniel's time that Messiah was going to come and also die, which is so important. So any Messiah now in 2015 or in the future could not fulfill these verses above, right? Everybody understand that? You can't fulfill these verses anymore. Two reasons are that Judah's tribal identity and the temple were both destroyed in 70 AD.
They couldn't be after 70 AD.
So anything after 70 AD. So just by knowing that, we have, again, today, with last week's study and today, we could actually, as spiritual forensic detectives, sit down, gather evidence, gather proof, and verify who the Messiah should have been, who he was, what he was going to do, where he was going to be born, what his life was going to entail. I mean, we never heard of anyone born of a virgin before, have you? And that's foretold also in the prophets, which is supernatural. But anyway, the real Messiah had to come almost 2,000 years ago, before God had destroyed the temple in 70 AD by the Roman general Titus. And that's just a little study today that I put together, and I hope you got something out of it. I don't even know if there people are still there listening, and I'll get off there. Okay, we'll shut that, and we'll shut this. And then I want to say thank you for being here, and may God bless everyone out there, and I hope you got something out of this. And we'll take questions after this, or after we eat or have something to drink and walk around a little bit. Seems like we might have to do that. Shabbat shalom. So we'll stop that. And we will stop.